Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Jim, Matt, and Molly. Actually, Jim, Matt, and Molly. Molly Brown back from her hiatus with babies. And Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge with you. We are at Rootsquist Steakhouse in Middleton. It is kind of a nice warm weather, kind of a rainy day. They got the fire pit still going on outside, which adds to the ambiance here. Kind of a chill, dark ambiance here at Rootsquist Steakhouse, which is the opposite of our mood because we are thrilled to have Molly Brown back. And Molly, I'll let you do the honors saying hello to Jason Wilde.
Hello, Jason. I heard that you missed me a couple of times when you joined the show.
Well, first, let me be very clear. I miss you for a number of reasons. You know, I think the world of you. But the show is so much worse when you're not on it. We've been suffering through this now for months. So it's great to have you back. I could not be more thrilled.
Savage. Well, thank you. I was listening a couple times, and then when I heard you mention my name, I was like, all right, I'm happy. I'm happy. So good to be back.
You get I
just got to say, too, I want to give a shout-out to Pablo because the return of Molly Brown video was fantastic. It was so good, I didn't think he did it. I thought Matty Hayes did it. So kudos to Pablo. I want to thank him because I should not have tried to guess who did it because I felt bad in the aftermath.
I did see that tweet. It's a bit of pressure with all of these different elements that Pablo and Ryan and everybody's creating. So
pressure,
I
pressure.
Love it. But I'm a little bit like, ooh, these are high standards to live up to. So, since I haven't talked to you about the Green Bay Packers for a bit, Davante Adams, what are your thoughts? Where do you think he's going? Do you think that Green Bay is actually a likely landing spot for him?
Yeah, I certainly hope he's landing in Green Bay. I mean, you know, he's obviously been one of my guys, and I don't have many guys left. There's so many young guys on these teams. And so I did send him a text today that said, come on home. And I included a video clip of back during COVID when we were doing all these Zoom calls, and we were having technical issues with people, their questions, Devontae not being able to hear them. And then it was my turn and I started to talk and I said, Devontae, can you hear me? And he pretended that he couldn't hear me. And then he finally gave it up and said, no, I can hear Wilde. I can hear Wilde. I'll take his question. And I just, he was, and I say that from a selfish perspective because I think he's one of the smartest, most engaging players I've covered during my time. But I also think he has incredible value to this team. I think he, you know, even if he wasn't a guy that I really like on a personal level, I would argue that he's exactly the kind of guy that they need right now. And what I mean by that is, and I know, you know, Matt and Jim have heard me say this previously, but I don't want, if I'm the Packers, to trade for DK Metcalf or trade for T. Higgins because you're paying him a king's ransom, and then you are installing him as your number one for probably 4 years if you're going to pay him that kind of money, right? Yeah. Whereas in Devontae's case, I think you're probably going to pay him. You know, Adam Schefter said about $16 million a year is where he's hearing he would land, which is still not cheap, but that's still a significant amount. It's number one wide receiver-ish money. But more importantly, it means that he can be your number one this season and potentially next season. And during the process of 25 and 26, whether it's Dontavian Wicks or Jaden Reed or Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson or whoever it might be, can grow into that number one role the way Devontae did behind Jordy Nelson, the way Jordy Nelson did behind Greg Jennings, the way Greg Jennings did behind Donald Driver. And I just think that is one of the unintended consequences that Goody didn't think about when he went from Devontae to Alan Lazard and three rookie draft picks in Samari Toure, Watson, and Doubs in 2022. And so I just feel like this is a guy that can do the Jordy Nelson thing of I'm the number one, and then if somebody becomes good enough that they should be the number one, I can be a really good number two. I think Devontae's capable of that. I think he wants to burnish his resume so he can get a gold jacket, and I do think that he could do that here. He's going to have some other options, though, and I'm very curious to see what the competition is like.
So, Jason, Molly brought up a good point in our last segment. Go figure, because she's great. that, you know, GMs
you said
are
it,
prideful.
I didn't.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, I mean, you said it when you joined, Wildy. I will not forget that. Anyway, she made a good point that GMs are prideful people. Not a lot of opportunity in the NFL to rectify a mistake of letting somebody walk. Goody has that chance, but will his pride let him to go out and get a guy like Devontae?
That is a good point. See, proofing again how much
this
show needed her. although I do think, you know, when I listen to the open, it reminds me that it wasn't long before she left on maternity leave that she admitted publicly while asking the question, I just kind of made up this question on the spot. So I'm still workshopping it. So, you know, I mean, she's not perfect, right? She's great, but not perfect. But it is a good question. I think you can re-sign him without saying that it was a mistake to let him go in the first place, right? Like, if Goody is prideful enough to view it through that lens, I think you can say, look, you know, we felt like we couldn't give him what he was looking for. They also used the excuse that, and this is true, actually, that Devontae had some reservations about how long Rodgers was going to be there. And the other half of that was that, you know, he had doubts about Jordan Love, which you guys hear me say this all the time. He wasn't the only one, right? Mm-hmm. All of us beat writers had them, but so did Goody, right? That's why he signed Rodgers to the 3-year, $150 million extension going into 2022, right? It wasn't just because he'd won back-to-back MVPs. It was because he wasn't convinced that Love was the guy. And that's why he had to eat $41 million of cap room in 2023 then when they traded him to the Jets. So my point is that there were some other extenuating circumstances. To me, I think Jordan Love has clearly forgiven Devontae Adams for questioning how good he was. The question I do have is, has Devontae Adams forgiven Brian Gutekunst for lowballing him with that ridiculously bad offer going into training camp in 2021, which led to him playing out his contract, which players of his caliber so rarely do. And the fact that Goody put him in that position, if he was a grudge holder like me, he probably wouldn't come back, but hopefully he's a better person than I am.
We're talking with Jason Wildy, Jim, Matt, and Molly live at Ritz-Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page, Wildy included. Jason, who would be if, like, the Packers don't play their cards right? I can imagine there's got to be a few teams interested in Devontae Adams. And for me, two teams pop up as legit competition for the Packers would be, if they can swing it in their salary cap, would be the Rams and the Chargers as possibilities for people that would rival the Packers as far as teams that Devontae would be interested in. Are there other teams that could be a thorn in the Packers' side in their pursuit of Devontae?
So I do wonder, Jim, that's a really good question too, because, you know, the other thing that's missing from Devontae's resume, like, I always think of Hall of Fame as guys that were the best at their position for multiple years, and I think he was that, right? I mean, three-time first-team All-Pro. But I'm looking at the NFL's salary cap space and what teams have to work with, and I know that we kind of view the salary cap as kind of a fallacy, that teams can, you know, work their way around it and make things work. But I'm looking at Kansas City, and they're $15 million over the cap right now. Right now, they've got another, you know, a little less than a week to get under the cap. But I do wonder if he would look at teams that are close to a Super Bowl, and a quarterback that is a proven commodity as other options. Like, look, if I'm the Chiefs, what exactly do they have at wide receiver that you feel great about, right? Like,
yeah.
Kelce was the go-to guy, right? And so are they willing to move heaven and earth and say, look, we made it to the Super Bowl again, but we didn't win, and we got to do something because Kelce's not going to be here forever. He's going to be touring with Taylor sooner or later. So I would assume that they would be, you know, I don't know if they can come up with the cap space is what I'm saying. But if they can, if I'm Davante Adams, that has appealed to me. Like, I want to win a Super Bowl, right? He got here in 14. He went to the NFC Championship in 14, 16, 19, and 20. And he never got to a Super Bowl. He was a rookie on that team that had the meltdown in Seattle. It was his one of his most productive seasons in 20 when they had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the ropes at Lambeau Field in a 95% empty stadium and didn't get to the Super Bowl then either. So I would think that that is one thing, knowing how competitive he is, that that is a big hole in his career for him. So I do think that that would factor in, but I don't know if there is a situation that gives that checks every box. Like, I feel like the Packers, with him and with a couple of other pieces, are right there for the NFC berth in the Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara. So maybe the familiarity of coming back here, feeling differently about Jordan Love, all that stuff factors in. And let's not forget, this is a guy that it's pretty clear he is publicly politicked for coming back here. I mean, you know, I know Kay Adams isn't related to him, but she has him on her show all the time, much to Molly Brown's chagrin, from what I've learned. And I just feel like he's gone out of his way to talk about that to a degree that it just, there's too much smoke there not to be some fire.
Mm-hmm. Shifting gears here, Jason, what are your thoughts on the way that the Packers are kind of cracking down on season ticket holders selling their season tickets? What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts are it's total misdirection.
Elaborate.
Because, well, there's a little delay, and I don't want to talk over you guys because I tend to do that to people generally. And I hate it when Matt LaFleur does it to me when I'm asking a question and he decides it's too long and he's ready to answer it.
Felt like Green Bay to me.
There's a couple of things here, all right? First of all, they raised ticket prices for the 15th time in 16 years. The only time they didn't was the year after COVID. And it was the biggest increase they've done over that time, between $7 and $21 per ticket per game. $21 per ticket per game, if you've got the green package, I don't know what you guys make, and nor do I want to, because I'm sure Hamilton's salary dwarfs us all. But I can't afford that. I'm not paying that. And so, you know, I interacted with a lot of fans and by the way, they did this as a total news dump too, right? Like Friday at 3 o'clock. Come on. Mm-hmm. So I interacted with a bunch of fans, and in fairness to the Packers, there were a bunch that were like, hey, it's cost of doing business. I love the Packers. I'll pay whatever they charge. They could charge more. I know they could. There's all these people on the waiting list, et cetera, et cetera. I get all that. At the same time, I thought it was a little bit sketch that they included in their announcement that they were going to continue their practice of revoking tickets of season ticket holders that have sold 100% of their tickets for multiple years. And here's why. One, I was told afterward that it affects less than 1% of the accounts that they have. Okay, less than 1%, 40,000 accounts, so it's less than 400 accounts that are subject to this, and I bet it's even less than that. Like, I bet it's like 0.5% or less. Because secondly, they have been doing this for, this is the fourth unit. It's not something new. So I found the press release kind of misleading to say, hey, oh, we're doing this. Well, why didn't you announce it the first 3 years you did it?
Are you trying to tell me that someone would flood the zone with a bunch of information so you get lost in the sauce and you can't keep track of what's going on? I can't imagine something like that happening. It seems wild to me. But Jason, you know, with this, and you know, people complain, I think a lot of times, about Bucks games, and I was just talking to someone about this, and even Badger games. Oh, it's quiet, it's full of corporate people. At some point you could price people out, and then it's gonna be quiet. Or this, I was talking to someone who has Packer season tickets. They're more likely now, with this increase, to sell maybe two games instead of the one. So you're going to end up creating maybe more scenarios where you have opposing teams at the game, because to make up the cost, fans will punt on a game because they'll make up the price difference by selling one game's worth of tickets, or maybe two instead of one game going forward. So this does have, in theory, it could have a long-term effect on the game day experience for Packer fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if there's any truth to the rumor that Mark Murphy is going to impose tariffs on Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago fans, but I understand what you're going for there. Look, I don't think there's any question that this has impacted. Again, I always make sure I tell people this. Now, I'm not just a beat writer who's covered the team going on 30 seasons. I grew up going to games in Milwaukee. My grandparents had season tickets starting in the 1940s at State Fair Park in West Allis. I sat behind home plate at Packers games for 3 to 4 games a year, and it was a formative part of my childhood. And the idea that you are pricing out, look, I didn't come from a wealthy family. Like, these prices would be hard. I don't have the tickets anymore. I think my brother still has them. For all I know, he's one of the 1% that has been selling all his tickets. I have no idea. But my point is that you're exactly right. You're pricing out. And one of the, I had a bit of a, I wouldn't call it an argument, but a spirited debate with their director of public information or public something. Or he's got a highfalutin title, but I've known him for 30 years. His name's Aaron Popke. He's a good friend of mine. But he and I disagree fundamentally, because my other argument to him was, dude, you guys love to say you're owned by the community and owned by the fans, but you're pricing the people who, by the way, they don't make LA salaries or Chicago salaries. The cost of living here is different. These salaries are different than if you live in a big city. And so the ticket prices are actually a higher percentage of what they may make as a salary. And on top of all that, I know that they're not taking away tickets if you haven't sold 100% for multiple years. That's not to say that they might not change the policy down the road, right? Could be a slippery slope. But more, it's all in Ticketmaster. It's so, yeah. I mean, if you transfer the tickets, they're able. Now, I would think that if, I don't know how it would work with family members, right? Like if you know, your grandchildren go or whatever, and you transfer them. I don't know if there's an appeals process. I did not get into the weeds with that. But to Jim's point, if you're selling two of the games because you can't afford to keep them all to go to all the games yourself, guess what that's causing? It's causing opposing fans to come into your stadium. And your coach freaking hates that almost as much as he hates the wave when his team is on offense. So you've got this is an unintended consequence of ticket prices. And again, I understand there's lots of people on the waiting list that would happily pay it. To the Bucks point that Jim made, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of young people that would love to put more energy into the stadium than there might be from some older fans. But my biggest argument was, and I know this is anti-capitalism, and I'm not saying that I'm not for capitalism, but just because you can raise the prices doesn't mean you should. You don't have to. There's no rule that says you have to do that.
And I'll leave you on this because we're tight on time, but Arizona tea, still 99 cents. The owner's talked about it plenty of times. His margins are still good. The company's in good shape. He doesn't need to raise the cost. So as long as it doesn't, you know, start putting the business in the red, he's going to maintain it where it's at. And so, to your point, there are businesses, Costco with their $1.50 hot. I mean, you can make things work.
They're going to get me going on the $1.50 hot dog.
But regardless, that's been written into, like, the bylaws of Costco that you got to keep it at a certain level. So, to your point, Jason, you can make it work. You don't always have to raise prices.
Or they could at least drop the prices at the concession stands, yes, right? Yep. There's a bunch of teams that are doing that now. That would be a great show of goodwill, but again, I don't work there, and it's a good thing because I'd have gotten fired by now.
All I know is that all my kids are now on the waiting list for season tickets, so they just moved up 400 spots. So we're moving up.
Congratulations. And when they get them, they'll pay $5,000 per seat per game.
True. Yeah. Very true.
Lucky you. Fantastic, yes. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good. Welcome back, Molly. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Jason.
We are happy to have Molly Brown back. Don't forget, if you want to protect your home or business, Jeff, Kim, and Jeffrey over at J&K Security Solutions, a family-run business, a veteran-owned business, a locally-owned business, have been around for over 30 years protecting your home and business. So if you need to protect your business or protect your home or add Control 4 to your home, there's one place to go, and that's J&K Security Solutions. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Back from giving birth to beautiful twins.
We don't speak about her.
Speak about rivals.
We are not rivals. Yeah, me and Kay are not on the same level. In the same sense that Matt thinks that the Bears and the Packers aren't on the same level.
It's the return of Molly Brown to Jim, Matt, and Molly.